نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ما بعد, all praise due to Allah. We ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah exalt his mention and grant him peace. Our brothers and sisters in Islam, you know what? What we're doing right now is amazing. Do you guys realize that each one of us is in a different place in this world? Of course, some of us may be in the same country, perhaps even the same city, but at the moment, we are in very many different geographical locations. However, it is as if we are in the same room. Isn't it amazing? It is. If we told people a couple of hundred years ago that this could be done, they wouldn't believe. They say, no way. But Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed us with these facilities, with these utilities, with these facilitations, so that the da'wah of Islam may prevail, so that the deen may be spread, so that the message may be propagated. If we use it correctly, we now are actually utilizing a major blessing from Allah, which is, according to Allah's wisdom, proportional to our weak efforts. We can't do what Bukhari did. We can't do what Bukhari did, travel around the world to collect a narration, searching for the right people to collect narrations from the Prophet ﷺ on his feet or on an animal, going long distances and praying two rak'at before he would write down every hadith. Two voluntary prayers for every hadith in the Sahih. Now, which one of us can do that? We can't. So based on our inabilities, our weaknesses, look how Allah Azza wa Jal facilitated our affair so that you are learning and teaching through a laptop, a computer, microphones, these weird looking things. This is nothing but gadgets. It's a bunch of plastic that is able to display a real person before your eyes. What am I trying to say here? I'm trying to say that da'wah has become so easy by Allah's grace. So where are the du'at? Where are the propagators of Islam? Where are the inviters to Islam? Where are the people who are utilizing these means so that the deen of Allah may be presented to the non-Muslims and so that the new Muslims are educated? Where are they? Is it real? Is it possible that in the whole Islamic world we have like 10, 15 English speakers? If you really filter it, those who are out there, that's a small number. Can they fulfill the needs of the ummah? Can 15 individuals fulfill the need of a billion and a quarter? Not all of them are English speakers, but a lot of them are. English remains to be the most international, common, used language amongst the human beings. So where are the du'at? We need to change our views, to rise to the occasion. Trust me, some of us have been in the learning position longer than necessary. What I mean by that, I'm not saying that there's a point where you no longer learn. No. Learning is something which we will continue to do until we meet Allah, and until we die and meet Allah. You will never stop learning. However, there is a stage where you will start educating after having learned the fundamentals. And concerning that, some of us have been learning for too long without beginning to educate. Even though the means have become very much simplified and available. Now, I'm not inviting for everyone to become a da'i without having qualified themselves, without having reached that level of maturity in da'wah. However, I do want to encourage us to strive towards that goal and destination, so that the da'wah may not be limited in a few, or amongst a few. So that the da'wah, so every one of you here, chat Islam listeners, can eventually become a propagator of Islam himself or herself. This is an effort which is expected upon the Muslims. Remember that Allah said, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. You were the best nation ever produced to people. تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. Because you enjoin what is good, you forbid what is evil and wrong, and you believe in Allah. We were the best nation amongst all nations. And we don't say this boastfully. We don't say this out of pride. We don't say this just to show off. No. We're simply conveying what Allah described this ummah, the followers of the Prophet Muhammad, may Allah exalt his mention with. This is how Allah described us. Now we need to live up to this description. We need to materialize it in our lives. We need to take this knowledge and convey it to others accordingly, each according to his ability and his skills and his the talents which Allah Azza wa Jalla has given each and every one of us. Everyone is talented in a way that is rare amongst others. Some people are speakers, some people are authors, some people are, they have the ability to analyze, analysts. Everyone has a skill, has a feature, has a talent, which should be utilized in the way of Allah. Some people have money. Some people have money. I still remind you, these classes, and every class you hear on Chat Islam, when I'm speaking, all of these are courtesy of a brother whom I've never met. He once joined a class. He saw that the internet was lousy. He didn't like the fact that while I'm speaking, the internet kept cutting. So he, out of nowhere, contacts me through their moderators, and he sent not an easy amount of money to pay for my internet subscription for a whole year. This is what he was able to do. This was the way he participated in the propagation of Islam. So now, maybe we don't realize it, maybe this brother's reward is superior to mine and yours and everybody's. Because everything pertaining to da'wah, from emails which I sent back and forth, because I'm using the internet he gave me, the emails, perhaps the speed of the YouTube lectures, the speed in which they're uploaded, these classes, everything is in his book of deeds, inshaAllah. If his niyyah was sincere, all of these in his book of deeds. What he did, he had money. This was his involvement in da'wah. He did his job. He has money, he has a business. Said, I pay for it. I'm not trying to encourage any one of you to send me money. Don't misunderstand me. I didn't ask the brother, nor did I even hint. It just came, and the sunnah, the way of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is when a gift is given to you, you accept it. As long as you're not looking forward to it. Don't send me anything and don't contact me later and say, oh well, I want to give you this. No, don't give me, keep your money. Keep your money. What I'm giving you, I'm sharing this with you as an example. So that you may realize that there's something you can do that perhaps you haven't been doing for whatever satanic reasons. Thinking that you're qualified or not qualified, or this is not for you, or this is for other people. No, everyone has something to do. The moderators and the monitors. This is a simple job. Yeah? It's a simple job in the sight of Allah, in the sight of the people. It's a great job in the sight of Allah. Because through their facilitation, through their management, all of this knowledge is being disseminated. So this is the part that they pay. This is their time. I'm sure some of them can say, forget about charity time, I can go down the street and make some money. But they choose to do this because this is the way they're contributing. Not saying that they don't do anything else which is pertaining to da'wah. They may also be speakers themselves and du'at and whatever. But look at what they have done, what they have given. Jazahumullahu khayran. And you, what have you offered? What have you done towards bringing someone into Islam? What have you done towards providing service to Islam? Or is it that we only do things for the worldly life, even though we know that this is not going to last? So the truth of the matter is, we have some shortcomings. And brothers and sisters in Islam, we need to move on. Each one of you, assess yourself, evaluate yourself. What is it that I'm skillful at? What is it that I am good at? What is it that I can offer? And do it without procrastination. Do it before it's too late. Do something. I know of a brother, may Allah reward him with goodness, whom I love for the sake of Allah. He loves to pick up a da'i, yani he pick up someone who is involved in da'wah, and take him from a location to another. What he can offer, and he can offer more than that. But one of the things which he seeks with Allah, he seeks the acceptance of Allah, and the reward from Allah is through, it's through helping this person get to the locations where da'wah is taking place. Delivering, I guess, this da'i. Picking him up and dropping him off. Providing him with transportation. Allah gave him a car. He has time. He doesn't waste time. He doesn't go to sleep. Rather, he goes out of his way to do this. Again, you may say, this is a minor job. No. This is not. This is a big, big deal in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal. So, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Tamna min al-ma'roofi shay'an." Do not belittle or undermine any good deed. You don't know which one Allah will accept and be the reason why your sins will be forgiven, protection from the fire is granted, and admittance to paradise is guaranteed. It might be the deed which you thought the least about. It may be the deed which you the least expected will be the source of salvation. But a Muslim should be always aware of that. Should always make that effort. Should always strive towards that destination. So the internet is one of these, it's changing the way life has become. This is changing the way life is. The internet has become part and parcel of almost every human's life, even the elderly, even old people, young children. Everyone has something to do with the internet. The question is, where is the da'wah? Where is the da'wah in this, in integration of the da'wah with this utility? Where is the da'wah, the invitation to Islam, being integrated with this internet utility? What are we doing in regards to that? Do we simply forward email without verifying their authenticity? Or do we have genuine, sincere effort in utilizing the internet to reach out to as many people as possible? Now we can reach out to people whom we never thought we could reach through a small screen. Excuse me, let me just put this on silent. This is facilitation from Allah. So brothers and sisters, I would I don't want to elongate. See, I truly, sincerely believe that speaking when you've said all that you have is worthless and pointless. You don't just want to rabble on if you really have finished what you have in mind. And I don't like to restrict myself to an hour or half an hour or 45 minutes of speech when I don't have that much to say. And there are times when I have 2 hours of things to say. So it really depends. Now, in this mood, I've said what I had. And I will summarize it in a few sentences before we open the question and answer session. Stop remaining in the state of idleness. Don't be idle. Move on. Learn and share. Reflect on what you can do and do it. Make an effort. Spread the deen. There isn't a more noble, a more rewarding than propagation of Islam. There isn't. There's nothing better than doing what the prophets and the messengers of Allah did. Nothing. So where's your share? Where's your share in this great reward? What are you offering? And what have you done? If shaitan has been holding you back and making you feel that you are incapable or you lack qualifications, then let go of these evil ideas. If you're unqualified in some aspects, then in things which you're qualified in. But don't deprive yourself of the involvement. Utilize the internet. Utilize the traditional means. Utilize anything which is halal to share Islam with the non-Muslims and with Islam. And you will appreciate these efforts on the day you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you will realize that you have been granted success and you have been blessed by Allah your whole life because you were involved in spreading this religion which Allah Azza wa Jal has decreed will be all over the world and will be the religion which will prevail and will be the only acceptable religion in the sight of Allah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, if you have any questions, the monitors can further guide you on how to pose them. And then we can deal with them accordingly, inshallah. Yes, sister, the session has started and we're in the question and answer session now. Here we go, question number one. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I heard that if your fard salah is not 100% good, your sunnah salah before or after, it makes up for it. Like if you mind stray for a second, is this true? Yes, it is true. That Allah Azza wa Jal will, on the day of resurrection, or day of recompense, He will say, look into the prayer of my slave. And if they find that he has some shortcomings in the obligatory, it will be said, look to see if he has any voluntary prayers which will make up for the discrepancy in the obligatory prayer. And if they find it to be the case, then that voluntary prayer will make up for the obligatory, and inshallah his affair will be a good one. I am in love from this dunya, please advise. You mean you're in love with this dunya? If you're in love with this dunya, then divorce it. Seek a divorce. And read Surah Al-Kahf, wherein Allah said, وَاضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَا إِنْ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ كَمَا إِنْ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ فأصبح هشيما تذروه الرياح وكان الله على كل شيء مقتدرا. And strike for them the similitude of this worldly life is like rain which we send down from the sky. So it mingles with the earth and it produces vegetation, after which it becomes dry and broken pieces, and the wind blows it away. And verily Allah is able to do all things. This is the example of the worldly life. Nice and cool and pleasing, all of a sudden it is gone, and then you have to deal with the afterlife. So how could you love something which will destroy you? How can you love something which will exterminate you? How could you love something which will make you pay for that error and will make you regretful for either for many, many years or forever? Divorce it and find another love, the love of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If someone says salamu alaykum to a person who's in the middle of salah, what should the response of a person salah be? Shall he wave his hand without saying anything or no response? This is a question from an 8-year-old boy in school. He should go like this. If he's standing like this, if someone gives you salam, you go like this and you return it. You don't say anything. That's it. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. Can I call myself a student of knowledge, a seeker of knowledge? Well, if you are, then yes. Talibatu ilm. Anti talibatu ilmin. In kunti miman yatlubu ilm. If you seek knowledge, then you're a student or a seeker of knowledge. If you're seeking something else, then you can't call yourself a seeker of knowledge or a student of knowledge. So you just have to live up to it. Is it okay for women to wear in her kalima finger, the finger we point during tashahud? Artist is saying we shouldn't. How much is this true? This is nonsense. This is nonsense. I don't know where people come up with these very strange prohibitions, and they make haram or Allah made halal. You wear the finger, you wear the ring in whichever finger you like, provided that you're not wearing it before strange men. As in time, wear 10 rings each on one finger. It's your business. Ajeeb, the inventions of people. Ajeeb. In Masjid al-Haram, she's giving fatwa in the Masjid al-Haram. Allah yahdiha yuslahha. Next. Salaam alaikum, alaikum salam. I will be having a torn ligament surgery. Is it fine if I make up the salah? No. Pray to the best of your ability, akhi. Pray to the best of your ability. Meaning if you can't move your body, sit down and move your head. Salah is never waived. Never, never, ever waived. You're totally gone out of this world. then you're not, of course, you have to make up the salah after you wake up. If your mind is there, do it in the surgery. How long is the surgery, ya Sheikh? I used to have torn ligaments all the time. How long is it? You pray whenever it's done, obviously. And if you can pray while they're doing the surgery, go ahead. Barakallahu fiik. Can I watch a cricket match on TV? Wallahi, ya Sheikh, I lean towards asking you or advising you to avoid it. If it will create a sense of nationalism, for example, you favor the Sri Lankan team, over the Pakistani team, and the overage of that leads to looking at things quickly, like from their knees to their navels, if there's music in the background. I mean, all these are serious issues. Often one can get carried away with internet debates. When does one stop? The other person can be very stubborn. When should we give up? We should give up from the beginning. If the person is just an argumentative person, just ignore them. Don't waste your time to begin with. Hi, I became Muslim yesterday and I was wondering, should I wear Islamic clothing? Well, Andrew, alhamdulillah, we're happy for you, barakallah fiqh. It depends on what you mean by Islamic clothing. Usually, all clothes are allowed, okay, as long as they meet the requirement. As in, they're not too tight, they don't show parts of your body which should be hidden, like the knees all the way to your navel. They do not resemble those of the evil people, meaning you don't look like a rapper or a pothead or one of these wicked people out in the society. As long as you don't resemble them, then all that is fine. However, if you want my personal preference for you, if you are able to get your hands on Islamic clothing, as in the thawb, which usually the Arabs wear, or the kameez shirwal, which is worn by our Pakistani and Indian and Bengali brothers, then hey, go ahead. That is better, more rewarding, inshallah, and it is easier for you to be identified as a Muslim, so that you will be given your Islamic rights. So if you're able to do it, go ahead. But is it obligatory on you? No, it is not. Just make sure that whatever else you wear is suitable and appropriate and modest. Salam Sheikh, what sort of books, English, would you recommend for a student of knowledge to read and gain knowledge from, please? There are many books out there. There's a book, the Book of Tawheed, The Fundamentals of Tawheed by Bilal Phillips. You should read that book. There's Sharh al-Aqidah al-Wasitiyya li Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah by Darul Salam. Two volumes, you should read that book. And there are a number of other books in the market. The Book of Fiqh by Shaykh al-Fuzan, hafizahullah. There's the book about answering misconceptions about Islam by, I believe, Sahih International. 50 questions about Islam, something along these lines. All these books are good, inshallah. Anyways, Bilal Phillips, hafizahullah, has many books in that regard, which are beneficial. Fiqh, the fundamentals of fiqh, and tawheed. He has a number of volumes, mashallah, which facilitate the acquisition of that knowledge for the Muslims. Are you supposed to look down when in ruku' or keep your eyes on the spot where your forehead is supposed to be? You keep your eyes on the spot where your forehead is supposed to be. That is the answer, barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Do the tajweed rules apply with dua in and out salah? No, they don't. No, they don't. I heard in a lecture that the four rak'at before Asha for Salah not Sunnah. Is this true? Allahu A'lam. They're not part of the al-ratiba, or Sunan al-rawatib. They're not part of the Sunan which the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was consistent in praying. However, is there a narration which recommends four rak'at before Isha? I personally don't know of any. But that doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. It just means that I don't know it. Just joking, Akhi Umar. You know I have to tease you. I heard the judgment will be on a Friday. Does that mean the day of judgment will start on Friday, or the books will be handed to us on Friday, or we enter our destinations on Friday? The whole thing will be on Friday, Akhi. Barakallah feek. Yawm al-Qiyamah is a very lengthy day. Oops. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Do we parents have any rights on the gifts gifted to our children by others, like gold and money, especially if they are infants, very young children? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Unless the person tells you this gift is strictly for them and I don't want you to have it. But if they don't, very often people give the gifts to the children with the intention to give them to you, but they're too shy to give it to you directly. And the hadith of Prophet ﷺ said, "Anta wa abu wa anta wa maluka li abik." He said to a companion, "You and your money belong to your father." Now, you and your money belong to your father. So yes, they do have that right. However, if the parents, you know, can be gentle and save that money on the side for the children, so they can use it in their future for, you know, da'wah, for their education, Islamic education, that would be nice. That would be nice, inshallah. But if the parents need the money, yes, they have the right to utilize it. Now, a sister wants to know if it is permissible to start a business giving marriage advice to Muslim sisters, like writing articles on how to avoid disputes with the husband, how to increase love between spouses, etc. Can the sister write books of this nature and conduct webinars and accept payment for it? Is this a halal service? Wallahi, Allahu A'lam. Usually, the things which are intended to bring people and educate people about Islam should be free of charge. And even though the scholars have differed on it, from my understanding, you should not get paid for da'wah. If the people give you something after you're done and you were not looking forward to it, that's fine, you may take it. But to make it part of the intent in the beginning that you want to make money out of it, that's a big problem, per my knowledge. Per my knowledge. Now, authoring a book is another situation, because authoring a book does require money, and someone may make money out of that book they authored because the book is being sold. But other than that, Allahu A'lam. Allahu A'lam. You know, the da'wah should be for the sake of Allah. مَا نَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ. And Allah said, many prophets used to say to the nations, we don't ask any ajr, any money, any charge for what we do. And Surah Yasin, اتبعوا من لا يسألكم أجرا وهم مهتدون. Follow those who do not ask you for any money and they are rightly guided. Wallahu A'lam. Assalamu alaikum ya shaykh, wa alaikum salam ya shaykha. What is the ruling regarding non-Muslims greet you with the salam? If they say assalamu alaikum, you say wa alaikum. That's it. If they say to you assalamu alaikum, you return by saying wa alaikum and you stop. Naam. Allah says we should spend our money, but we should not overly spend, as this is from shaitan. You probably don't believe me, but I spend far too much money giving sadaqah. Is this okay? Yes, it is. As long as by you spending this money, you're not depriving your relatives of their rights, and you're not facing yourself in a difficult predicament, it is fine. But moderation is expected in all things. However, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to give all of his money in sadaqah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I have recently started wearing niqab when I go out. Do I still have to wear niqab at home, even if my cousins or my aunt's husband visit us? Yes. If you believe that niqab is obligatory, if you follow the opinion that it's obligatory, you have to wear it in front of strangers, whether on the airplane, at home, on the mountains, in the rivers, or wherever you are. All the time, if you believe it's obligatory. If you're wearing it just as a voluntary act and you just like to do it when you go out, and then you don't wish to wear it at other times, that's up to you, because it's voluntary. However, my personal observation, you should be more keen on wearing it in the house when you have relatives than outside. Because the tendency for relatives to get over comfortable, I guess, or over relaxed with each other is greater than that with strangers. And so the possibility of falling into the traps of Satan and the devils are much higher. So you should be more careful there. Now, from a sister who is new in Islam, do women have to obey their husbands in paradise? Do we have any duties over there? You have no duties over there whatsoever, sister. You go to Jannah and you never have to worry about your hubby pie again. Everything is going to be lovely and dandy. Just like you dream. No such thing. You don't have to obey him concerning anything. There will be no commands given to you. Everybody will be willingly doing that which will make him happy. Don't worry. You will not enter Jannah except after you have been cleansed of every human deficient quality which we have today. No one will enter paradise with not even the tiniest fraction of dissatisfaction, discontentment, or depression. Nothing. Nothing at all. You will be there 100% happily enjoying yourself for eternity. So tell the sister to relax. She seems to be worried about obeying her husband so much. Maybe he's given her too much command. She just wants to make it a Jannah and escape him. What? Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. I listened to lecture, where is this wedding heading, not headed, nothing mushkila, and I got confused about the part where you explained how pictures were not allowed. Can you please clarify in a much simpler way? No, I can't, but I can tell you to watch the lecture. Facebook can make you face hell, and in that lecture there's a special segment dedicated to the ruling on taking pictures, quite elaborately explained, inshallah. And so inshallah there you will find it to be simpler and easier to understand. But now this will require a good hour of explanation, which neither I have nor do you. Nor do you. Allahu alam. Okay, which do you prefer? Tafsir fi zilalil Qur'an or tafhimul Qur'an? Tafhimul Qur'an, and why? Please mention the merits and demerits of these two tafsirs. Well, I know Zilal al-Qur'an. I don't know about this Tafhim al-Qur'an. Nor do I know who authored it. But I prefer, if you really want to ask me, the tafsir of Ibn Kathir and the tafsir of Abdul Rahman bin Nasir al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, and the tafsir of al-Tabari. And those are the tafsir which I advise you to read. The one of Zilal, في Zilal Quran has a lot of, you know, issues in it, because the author was not necessarily a scholar per se. This is an author, you know, a man of literature, but nevertheless, yani it has some good things and some observations or some things which are a little doubtful. So I suggest that you read Taysir al-Karim al-Rahman fi Tafsir Kalam al-Mannan for Sheikh Abdul Rahman bin Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala, and a tafsir of Ibn Kathir, and the famous tafsir of Sheikh al-Tabari, Abu Jarir al-Tabari alayhi rahmatullah, the Imam of the Mufassirin. And of course the tafsir of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, al-Tafsir al-Azim. I can't get it now. Anyways. Subhanallah. Is it good for the imams of the masjid to compromise on the issue of sunnah while we know what's the truth, but he being forsaken sunnah to bring unity among the umrah, the ummah, praying behind issues with Pakistani Indian Arabs? I don't know what you mean. Compromise issues of the sunnah? Which issues of the sunnah? That depends. The sunnah is a very broad term. It can mean many different things. So I'm not able to answer a question if I don't understand it, the implications, and because I may misinform you or I give you something which is actually unacceptable. Okay. And also the tafsir, alhamdulillah I remembered. Do you get punished for thinking about something evil, and what to say to protect myself from the shaitan? No, you don't. You know, don't indulge in that evil thought, and you don't act upon it, nor do you speak about it. And you just basically seek refuge with Allah by saying, "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaitan rajim," so that Allah Azza wa Jalla will protect you from these evil whispers. Okay guys, I gotta go in a little bit, so if we can stop taking any questions, I would appreciate it, because I haven't had any sleep since the morning, and I want to catch some before Maghrib here. I heard in a lecture that the Forak, I already answered that question. There's a hadith about the shaitan coming in the form of a man, ayat al-kursi hadith. Sometimes I see a person who's very evil. Can they be an actual shaitan in the form of a man? No, leave that alone. And the hadith of ayat al-kursi does not speak of a man coming in real life. It was a dream which Abu Hurairah was seeing. It was a dream. It wasn't in real life. So if you see a person, he's just, you know, a person. Cannot say that he's a shaitan or not. Is there a special tawbah hypocrites need to make? No. Unless you mean a tawbah from their hypocrisy, then yes, that's their special tawbah. When is the pregnant woman exempt from salah? If she's in labor for hours and then yes. But usually women can pray during labor. I have heard that the use of credit cards is haram, especially those issued by non-Islamic banks. So in light, that that person be sinning if he gives people an option to pay through their credit cards for a service? Allahu alam. You need to ask the Mufti. I'm not qualified to answer that. Is it true that you have non-Muslim friends? That if you have if you have non-Muslim friends on the Day of Judgment, you'll be asked about why you didn't invite them to Islam. Are there conditions for being friends with non-Muslims? Though, I mean, I cannot, I do not know of a particular narration which mentions that. There is one, I don't know if it's authentic or not. Nevertheless, just generally speaking, we are expected and we do have the obligation to convey Islam to the non-Muslims. That's all I know. The sister is wondering if she should take your word for it. If you are an imam, for instance, or is it anything she can read it to get confirmed, fatwa and so on. Is this the one with the credit card? I don't know what you mean by if she can take my word for it. I'm not an imam, that's for sure. Yeah, take my word for it. Take my word for it. Because I've done a lecture on this topic. If you doubt, which you have the right to doubt, go to my YouTube channel, One Way to Paradise, and listen to the lecture, Eternal Bliss. Eternal Bliss. I there quoted the references proving that no one will enter Jannah and have any obligations whatsoever. Now, some people say that you need to read 2 rak'ah nafil when you enter inside the masjid for Jumu'ah Salah, and you need to read it even if the khutbah is going on. Is this true? Yes, it is, and you better do it. Because the Prophet ﷺ was delivering khutbah when someone came in and sat down, he made them get up and pray the 2 rak'ahs. When I come up from my second sujood, do I say Rabbi ighfirli? Or is that only after the first sujood? This is only after the first sujood, not after the second sujood. And do I only say Allahu Akbar both after I come from second sujood and while getting up from saying Rabbi ighfirli? Yes, you only say takbir. MashaAllah. When I come up from my second... Okay, I said that already. Hollywood film 2012. Is it permissible to watch? I don't know what that is. But once you say the word Hollywood, I think you should know the answer. I've never seen a movie with... Hollywood is Hollywood. Nakedness, drugs, sex, disobedience, disbelief, blasphemy, heresy, immorality, you name it. That's Hollywood for you. And Bollywood is not any better. All of them are just as evil. Don't waste your time with that stuff. Okay guys, جزاكم الله خيرا لحسن استماعكم ولصبركم علي إنني من الذاهبين الآن. جزاكم الله خيرا ونل catch you on Tuesday إن شاء الله. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.